Welcome to the online message for the Bethel United Methodist Church, a message that is very, very similar to the message that we bring in church on Sunday morning. We're grateful that you're here, and I entitled my message today, The Long and Dusty Road. You ever been on a long and dusty road? I know most of us have, and I know I sure have. Well, let me tell you the story about the triumphal entry into Jerusalem by Jesus. It's in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. New Living Translation says this. After telling this story, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He was there telling them parables and different things. So he came to the town of Bethpage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives. He sent two of his disciples ahead, and he told them, "Go into that village over there, and as you enter, you will see a colt tied there as you enter. There has a colt there that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you what you're doing, just say, 'The Lord needs it.'" So they went and found the colt, just as Jesus had said. And sure enough, as they were untying the colt, the owners asked them, "Why are you untying our colt?" And the disciples simply replied, "The Lord needs it." So they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over the colt for him to ride on. Then the crowd spread out their coats on the road ahead of Jesus, and as they reached the place where the road started down from the Mount of Olives, and all his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they have seen. "Bless the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest of heaven." Well, there were some Pharisees among the crowd and said, "Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that." He said, "If they keep quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers." May God add his blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his holy and precious word in the New Living Translation. Dust and stones and weary bones. Did you ever hear that? Some of the most frequent metaphors in scriptures have to do with dust, stones, and bones. Either wasted, dry bones, or bones filled with marrow and re-infused with life. You know the story in the Old Testament, dry bones, come back to life. But from the earliest of the scriptures in Genesis, we acknowledge that we have been created from the dust of the earth and infused with the Holy Spirit, breathed into to create a soul by God Almighty. Now, each one of our lives, I think, can we all realize this, begins and ends with dust. We do that ceremony when we commit somebody to the ground after they go home to be with the Lord. We say, "Dust to dust, ashes to ashes." We, as bodies, are made of dust, and we travel the long and dusty road of life, don't we, until the dust we return. Hopefully, the Lord will come for us first, and we won't have to go through that, but we don't know when that'll happen. But as our bones weaken, we become frail and our bodies waste away. But the stones, they last forever. And throughout Scripture, stones are the symbols of preeminence and the foundational part of our faith, of God's presence and stability provided by God. In the Hebrew tradition, the stones are therefore called witnesses. And the tablets of the law were presented and etched in stone. Stones are the monumental crossing into the promised land. Stones indicate the presence of God and served as altars. Also, as in Jacob's dream, served to connect him in a vision of divine. Genesis 28. Stones memorialize the covenant set up between God and God's people, and they serve as witness to their bond. It's like the story of Joshua's stone in Joshua 24. And in Samuel, as they set up a stone that he called Ebenezer, stone of help, signifying God's saving presence among them. You can find that story in Samuel chapter 7. And there's many other examples in the Hebrew Scriptures. It makes no mistake that Jesus names Peter the stone that would be the foundation for his church, or that Jesus himself is named as the chief cornerstone, infused with power in the presence of God. Jesus is God eternal. Peter would build upon that witness as he continued to witness throughout the world with a mission that could not be silenced. Jesus traveled a long and dusty road, but the entire earth, God's own presence, witnessed to the authority and the authenticity of his mission and his name. The name above all names. You know, there is something about that name. The scriptures for us today on this Palm Sunday shows Jesus kicking up the dust as he rides into Jerusalem on a prepared donkey. Pre-prepared, if you would. And when the Pharisees saw that reaction of the crowd, most of them, disciples included, they were Jesus fans, and they warned him to go and tell them to stop praising and shouting. But Jesus looked them straight in the eye, and he said to them, "I will tell you, if they were silent, the stones themselves would call out." Well, the stones of that day bore witness to the identity and the mission and the authority of Jesus, not only as God's prophet, but God's Son, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah and Lord. They also bore witness to the corruption and the conning and the cowardice of the religious elite of the day. Now, they may try to silence Jesus' bones, his voice, and his followers, but they could never silence the witness of God's own self-will. You see, their deeds would never be in secret. Their hearts would be revealed throughout the witness of the divine self. Jesus knew that although his physical strength may wane and his bones may be broken, it's prophesied that in the Bible, again, as I mentioned in Psalm 22, God's own witness could never be destroyed. God's voice could never be silenced. God's mission could never be put asunder. God's plan for humanity would prevail, no matter how loudly the foes of Jesus might protest. Solid as a rock, God's promises would be invincible, and God's word would last forever. Think about it. As we begin the Lenten season, we began with Ash Wednesday, the day in which we were to bear the dust of our origins and hear the words from Genesis 3:19. Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And we now come to Palm Sunday, in which God's incarnal dust and God's eternal stone collide in a beautiful dichotomy. God the eternal and the immortal created God's self for a while as it's just impermanent dust. But when the bones of that creation waste away, God's presence will endure. Oh, the body may decay, as we talked about last week, but stones do not die. Our bones may fall away to dust and in our grief and our distress, but God's will prevail. God's voice will not be silenced. Can you say amen? Well, in a sense, what Jesus was saying, hey guys, you can't kill me. You can torture my body and crush my bones, and my breath may fail and my body might decompose, but my message, my mission, and my movement will prevail. Why? Because my word is God's word, and my soul is God's spirit. You see, Jesus already knew when he made this ride that he was going to be riding the dusty road to his death. He knew what needed to happen for God's plan to become complete. Many a psalmist witnessed to the grief of facing death in Psalm 62, chapter 6, verse 2 says, "I am laughing and languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled." In Psalm 31:10, as we just read, it says, "Strength fails me because of my suffering, and my bones dry up." And again, as I mentioned, Psalm 22, "My bones dry up, and they waste away. And yet the prophets declared in Isaiah 58:4, the Lord will give strength to your bones. These dry bones will live, it says in Ezekiel. And what becomes inanimate in death, what becomes dust and ashes, only God can restore with his spirit. For God is the creator of the world and the creator of all life and the creator of our hope. You see, in a sense, that ride that Jesus took from the Mount of Olives down that hill. Judy and I have been blessed to go to Israel and be over there and walk that road. And as they walk down that hill into the temple gates of Jerusalem, it symbolizes his life and his mission. Now, this is the path that he was meant to take. It was all laid out in God's plan. And this is the life that he was meant to lead. This is the death that he was meant to face. And this is the promise he meant to inaugurate. Wow. Within Jesus' laser-sharp answer to the Pharisees, we too can find our hope. For the joy of the Lord is the witness of his creative glory, his life-giving power. And no matter how hard the world, even today, even though Jesus was crucified to him 2,000 years later, they're still trying to kill Jesus and take away. But God, through the grace and the love of the Holy Spirit, retains the power to give back life. Hallelujah. This is the story of resurrection. You heard me say it before. This is upcoming Resurrection Sunday. The word Easter has been carried over, but it's not really what we call Easter. It's a star. It was one of the things that maybe was mistranslated into the original King James Version, but everybody knows that word is there. Everybody said, oh yeah, let's celebrate Easter. But it is the resurrection story, the story of God's ability to create life out of dust and dry bones, the will of God to promise new life at the end of the very, very dusty road. Well, Palm Sunday, it begins with that solemn walk for Jesus, and one that he knows will lead to his death, and yet he is confident in God's promise, in his identity as God's Son, and in the life that is to come. That's what we hang on to, the blessed hope. Challenging things today in our time. And the world is filled with people who would silence that good news of the gospel, who would try to stifle and ridicule the truth of the resurrection. Our world knows, the world we live in knows those who would, with their contrived power and authority, attempt to silence the voices of the powerless, the ill and the grieving, who would try to squelch the energy of the creativeness within us, the innovators and the change makers, who would try to push down those fighting for the rights of the poor and the plight of the downtrodden, who would do anything to hang on to their own status and might. Wow, that's what the world's looking at. The power. They want the power. The world wants the power. But we want the grace and the love of God in our lives. And it's a message that they will never able to destroy. To those Jesus still says today, God's truth cannot be silenced. God's power cannot be squelched. God's will cannot be deterred. God's victory cannot be denied. For the more they try to silence God's beauty and God's grace, the more God's people are alive and well and determined that God had come to save God's people. It's a message that we should shout from the rooftops. Oh, well, you know, there's those who have felt silenced. And we also need to then to encourage. That's why we keep proclaiming the gospel. We got a biblical mandate to encourage one another. All the stones are shouting, and God's witness knows your plight. Resurrection is coming. Rise up, because up from the grave he arose. May God bless you this Palm Sunday. looking forward to Resurrection Sunday. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Amen.